guilty and the ghostly. I've been so bad, I see a skin in here and voices. I can't believe it's me. The guilty and the ghostly.
Hey y'all, quick disclaimer before we dive in. We did consider deleting and re-recording all of our earlier episodes because, wow, the audio is criminal. Straight to jail. But after some deep soul searching and mild embarrassment, we decided that it is important to stay humble. So we're keeping them exactly as they are. Crackly audio, awkward moments, and us having absolutely no clue as to what we were doing. Think of it as a time capsule, a very primitive time capsule. Stick with us though, the audio does get better, we promise. The growth was necessary, lessons were learned, and microphones were upgraded. Thank you all so much for the support, and with that being said, enjoy this absolute audio disaster and listen to us evolve.
Right, so let's kick off the first episode. So I thought it'd be good to start the episode with something that we've kind of grown up listening to and hearing. It's right here where we live. So
right.
What we are going to kick off today is the lore of Athens, Texas. I did a little bit of research just on the history of Athens, and I found out some information that I didn't know about, and so I figured I'd just kind of share a little bit with you. The first thing is the location of Athens. So it's only about an hour outside of Dallas. It was founded in 1850 and named after Athens, Greece. It was a Civil War headquarters, which is a central command hub for an army unit. And a little bit of information I also found was Bonnie and Clyde were actually known to frequent a diner in Athens.
Okay.
Yeah. So there was a Bonnie and Clyde sighting in Athens, and it says, during the crime spree of Clyde Barrow and Bonnie Parker, a farmer who lived on the dirt road by Ash Cemetery between Athens and Murchison walked to a neighbor's house and telephoned Sheriff Sweden. He reported that there was a carload of people, and it was a really, really nice car, but they were all camped on the west side of his house, so he thought that was really weird. And they waved at him and his wife as they were sitting on the porch when they drove by, but like they didn't bother them at all, but they were down the road firing guns all day. So they're in this super nice car, but camped on the road and just firing guns all day.
Just being suspicious all over.
Exactly. So Sheriff Sweden was alerted by Dallas police to be on the lookout for Barrow and his gang the week before. So he was guessing that's who it was. Jess told the farmer to do nothing different, but if he heard cars racing down the road, he and his wife should get into the house quickly. I'm guessing they knew they were kind of unpredictable and maybe something was going down if they saw them speeding down the road.
I mean, that would probably be pretty intense hearing that from a sheriff. Like, if you hear cars, get inside.
Yeah. So Jay stationed his deputy, Jack Terrell, behind a car blocking the road in front of the cemetery. He sent Deputy Bras Warren west of the little branch on which the people were camped. He parked his car on the north shoulder of Highway 31, just east of the Athens Fish and Game, and headed through the sweet gum thicket toward the reported campsite. He was wearing a brace of pistols and carrying a sawed-off shotgun. Jess said Bonnie was the most dangerous of all of them and would shoot at least a warning shot. They had already murdered several officers in cold blood and swore never to be captured alive, so they knew if the gang seen them, the cops coming up, like, it's about to go down. They're not going to be taken.
There's going to be a shootout, like, there's nothing to it.
Right. So he planned to hide in the bushes and wait until he had two or three of them lined up, and then he planned to kill Bonnie first and then move down the line to the others. When he arrived at the site, it was deserted. There was an empty grocery sack scattered around. A small fire was still glowing. A clothes bag from an East Texas cleaning shop had the name of Clyde's brother-in-law on the ticket, so they obviously knew it was them.
Yeah, it was definitely them.
The ditch on the south side of the road was littered with thousands of empty shell casings. So they knew they were there. They had all this proof, but they didn't. Nothing happened. They got away before.
They just couldn't do anything about it before they left.
Right. They escaped. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And we'll definitely have to cover Bonnie and Clyde later.
Bonnie and Clyde kind of remind me a little bit like of Harley Quinn and the Joker, just because they are so similar. Like Clyde and the Joker are crazy,
mm-hmm.
but Bonnie and Harley Quinn are like 10 times crazier.
Yes. And then you get them together and it's almost like they just feed off of each other.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, and I remember watching The Highwaymen in school and one of my anatomy and physiology classes, and they went through some stuff trying to even catch them, and they didn't even catch them alive. So
yeah.
It was like all of that for nothing.
Right.
Basically. But at least they were off the street.
Yeah. Yeah. They were at least taken care of. So that was interesting. And then I found this out, which I had no clue. The birthplace of the hamburger was in Athens, Texas. It was by a gentleman by the name of Fletcher Davis after he debuted at the St. Louis World's Fair in 1904. So I guess he invented it from Athens, and then he took it to the World Fair and like introduced it to everybody.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I figured they would at least post a little bit more about that, but I have never seen anything about that.
I've never even heard. I thought the hamburger came from, like, I'm not going to lie, French. Like,
Josh told me Germany. He's like, he told me that's wrong. That was from Germany. I said, no, look right here.
Like, that's so strange. Yeah. The hamburger.
Hamburger, yeah.
Okay.
They're also known for the Black Eyed Pea Jamboree and as a Black Eyed Pea capital of the United States, which I don't really care for Black Eyed Peas at all.
Only on the New Year.
Just choke it down, get your good luck for the year, and that's about the extent.
Hide underneath the table, you know, drink some water after you eat the Black Eyed Peas.
I've never heard hide under the table.
We're not really hide, but you haven't heard of that? You're supposed to go underneath the table. And it's supposed to wish, like, good luck, wealthiness.
See, I've heard, like, don't do laundry. You don't want to wash away the good luck for the year. I've heard that one. Eat cabbage for wealth. I've heard that one.
And there's also another thing with, like, underwear color. If you're trying to, like, get money, you're supposed to wear yellow. And if you're trying to seek love this year, you're supposed to wear red.
Okay.
Like, it's a bunch of different things.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was just a little bit like a brief, just kind of fun, interesting facts about Athens. So what we're actually going to be going over is Athens, Texas. There's always rumors about underground tunnels, the Fuller Park, that kind of stuff. So Athens has been surrounded by mysteries and lore since the beginning. Rumors have swirled around the town about satanic rituals, underground tunnels that form a pentagram, ghost monkeys, and a secretive country club with most elite members coming from Dallas and allegedly dabbling in the occult and the torture of humans and possible KKK involvement.
Yikes.
Yeah, not fun. And
it's very... So, it's so interesting that it's about, like, KKK involvement because I just went to the movie last night and I saw this new movie called Sinners. And it had, like, a lot of things with the KKK involved, and it's just so crazy. It also has Michael B. Jordan in it.
Ooh.
If you're into him, you know, I am.
So, it has been said that Athens has underground tunnels that, if laid out on a map, they actually create a pentagram. And then the courthouse being right in the middle of it, like being the central location for it.
You drive by every day.
Yeah, and
it's mentioned.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful courthouse, but that's kind of weird to think about. It was believed they could be abandoned prohibition tunnels or underground bunkers that have since been abandoned and filled in. But a geologist has done multiple ground surveys, and they determined that the soil composition could not support a tunnel system like that. So from what I could see, they're saying there's no way there can actually be any tunnel system. But, I mean, there are so many stories about them being under there.
Right. And also, just even if the soil isn't supporting it, that's not the only thing you build tunnels out of. You know, you could dig through the tunnels and put up, like, plank wood, you know.
Yeah, just alter it to where it can hold it.
Yeah.
Supposedly, one of the entrances to the tunnel is in Fuller Park. A reverend of the First Baptist Church of Athens by the name of Medford Lee Fuller purchased the land where he later buried his wife in 1938. Aww. He then created what is known as Fuller Park. It is believed he was planning on turning Fuller Park into a zoo or a park. It is said he kept caged monkeys and kids would come look at them, which that sounds kind of dangerous because just a bunch of kids coming to look at monkeys in a cages, they could just grab them and...
Yeah, and they're probably unsupervised. There's no cameras, you know, it's just...
Yeah.
Monkeys in the cage.
And...
In the middle of nowhere, in the park. Like, what?
Yeah, and monkeys are dangerous. Like, they're very dangerous.
I know, not like the tiny little pet monkeys, because I always see them, like, in Walmart and stuff like that. They're adorable. But the chimpanzees are, they could flip their switch at any moment.
Yes.
That very horrible incident with that older woman now.
Where it took her entire face, yes, and her friend had to witness all, yes, of it and couldn't do anything.
So sad.
I could not even imagine.
And not to mention that, like, that monkey was her friend's, like, child.
Yeah.
And the police just came in and killed it, like.
Yeah, and then she survived.
Yes,
but
it's just so traumatic, that whole story.
Yes. Some say they came from a train derailment or a wagon crashing that was transporting the monkeys. But I also seen another story where this gentleman went to Florida and got a bunch of monkeys and brought them back. And his wife was not happy about that. She was upset. And so I guess to keep peace with the wife, he just let them go in the wild. And then now there's wild monkeys.
So we have no idea where these
And there were no news articles or anything about like a circus. Somebody said like it was a circus train that wrecked and that's where they came from, but there was
none. Also, like, I don't know how it was back in the day in Athens, but I wouldn't figure Athens to be like just having random monkeys around.
Yeah, like, you know, where did they come from?
Yeah.
Either way, the legend has it that they escaped and then Mr. Fuller caught them and then kept them, and he was using them as part of rituals and experiments. But at the same time, there would be some kind of proof or something in the newspapers, like, check out this guy and his monkeys and what he's doing. But there's nothing. I feel like Reverend Fuller kind of got a bad rap over the years and saying he did this, but there's no proof that really he did anything.
Right.
Reverend Fuller passed away in 1944. He was buried next to his wife on the property. Virginia McClellan Fuller was born in 1866, his wife, and she died December 21st, 1933. In her obituary, it states, at the close of the service, friends of the deceased were given an opportunity to view the remains before taking the body to Fuller Ranch, where the burial was held. Mrs. Fuller had requested that she be buried, and her wishes were carried out. The 20 acres were set aside for a park by Reverend and Mrs. Fuller some time ago, and he announced the entire ranch will eventually become the property of Buckner's Home and the First Baptist Church of Athens.
So, do we know what happened to his wife, just maybe older age?
I don't know. It didn't really say what she died of. It just said she died, which, let me look how old she was, because she died, what did I say, in 1933. I'll have to go back and see when, I thought I said when she was born. Let me look. Maybe not. Yeah, it didn't seem like she was that old.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So maybe like a car accident or...
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know.
Anything of the above, but it's kind of just strange, like, having an open casket and then going to bury her on the farm or the park that they were... Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I was just wondering.
Their graves are marked with 8 posts made of iron ore, also known as virgin stone, and then there's large metal chains that connect each of the posts together, and they kind of form like a rectangle around their graves.
Oh.
After
just two graves?
Yeah, it's just and there's like two a right there. Yeah, there's like a border around them with okay. those iron ore right. pillars. After he passed, a will could not ever be located. Some say it was burned in a mysterious fire. Ever since, the park has been plagued by thrill-seeking teens and supposed satanic worshippers.
Nice.
Which I did find some news clippings that I'm going to read to you that I thought were interesting. One says, Lawman Stage Occult Workshop. Gravesite is mutilated here. Which it wasn't the Fuller's grave. It was it's a different grave that was affected. An occult awareness workshop for area ministers has been scheduled for 8 a.m. Sheriff H.B. Slick Alford. Slick, what a nickname.
Okay, Slick.
In a joint effort with Michael Paul and Associates of Crockett is sponsoring the program. It's strictly something to be aware of. Alford said, there's nothing happening in the county prompting or participation in the program, and we don't want to cause alarm.
Okay, that's suspicious.
The Chief Deputy Paul Clanton Tuesday said the Sheriff's Department doesn't want to add to the hysteria surrounding the reports of cultism and satanic worship in the county. But there is some kind of activity in the county, and we need to be prepared to deal with it.
Okay, so they're contradicting themselves, like, a lot.
Yeah, so nothing's happening, but it might be happening, so we need to get ready. The workshop comes amid recently reported animal mutilations in the Tri-Cities area that took place 3 months ago. Unsubstantiated, but reported animal mutilations on Highway 19, South Area, and a grave robbing near the former Maze Cafe on Highway 19, which I think that's the cafe that Bonnie and Clyde used to frequent.
Yeah, that would make sense.
That took place in August, but was only recently discovered. An 18-year-old Murchison man was booked on October 13th for abuse of a corpse, a misdemeanor, in addition to felony burglary of a vehicle, misdemeanor speeding, and failure to appear in court charges in connection with the grave robbing incident. A sheriff said youth told investigators that the grave of a Confederate State of America soldier buried off Highway 19 is an obscure cemetery had been entered for the purpose of obtaining medals they thought might be there. But other investigators are concerned about the theft of the bones from the grave because a head and parts of an arm, including fingers, were reported to be taken from the grave.
Now, see, why would you... I understand people are very, very weird, but I will never understand robbing graves. Just... let them be in peace. Like, their time on Earth is done. They're just trying to rest. And you're stealing their
bodies.
Skeletons? Like,
well, you know, which this kind of talks a little bit of why they may have, and we'll get into that. But, you know, the grave robbers, which I want to look into as well. Back in the day, they used to steal actual bodies of recently deceased. And they would sell them to, like, practicing medical doctors and stuff. Because that's how they would learn how to do stuff on other people. And so there was literally like a whole ordeal where they would steal the bodies, sell them to people for a lot of money, and they would basically just wait for somebody buried, go dig them up, and go sell them.
And no one would ever know if you, like, put the soil back, you know, especially if they're freshly buried.
Freshly done, yeah.
And another thing that was kind of interesting, you said that they were booked into Murchison, the guy that was... got for grave robbing and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so interesting because Murchison is such a small town now. I don't even think we have a police department.
We don't, no. So it's covered with Henderson County.
Yeah, if they were booked into Murchison, imagine how different it looked back then.
Yeah.
They probably had police cars everywhere, you know, a police station. We have to look.
Well, they did it a lot differently then, too. They didn't have all the deputies like we do now. There was just, like, a sheriff and a couple of his buddies, basically. Yeah.
Now every time you go into Tyler, there's a cop at every corner.
So skulls and fingers are sometimes used as integral parts of satanic or other ritualistic ceremonies. Those familiar with the practices said some occult worshippers seek to derive power from the ceremonies involving these relics. So that may kind of explain why some of the body parts were missing. Norris said he'd been told that the old soldier's head and other skeletal remains not left at the grave had been thrown into Kickapoo Creek near Chandler. So if you're going towards Tyler on 31, that creek that you cross over, that's the creek they threw it in.
throw the corpse in?
The missing pieces of the body, yeah.
Oh, no. Because we just went there to take, like, senior pictures and everything there.
That's right, I threw it.
For one of my friends. That's crazy. And people are out there fishing all the time. What if someone stumbles upon?
But that's any lake and river, body of water. Imagine what's
it's
in there.
So creepy. Okay.
We're not closing the grave just yet in hopes that we might recover some of the remains. So I guess they never did recover
the remains. So the grave just stayed open?
I'm sure they closed it eventually.
That's so sad.
Norris said he said it could not be determined if the old soldier had any living relatives. In Tri-Cities, cattleman George Riddlesparker said it appeared someone entered a corral containing a cow and cut the teats off the cow about 3 months ago.
Is going on in this town? Why are they just mutilating these poor animals?
And I was trying to look to see, because it seemed like that was happening quite frequently as far as, like, mutilation of the cows and livestock and other animals. He said that the violent action appeared to have caused normally tame cows to plunge through plank gates at the corral fence to escape attackers, which is pretty common. I mean, if you spook cattle, even if they're not a part of what you're doing, if you spook the cattle, the other cattle will freak out and
start running. Yeah.
He said, I thought it was really odd. Quentin said there are numerous reports made about suspected ritualistic activities in the county, but few that can be confirmed. Most often we find the reports cannot be substantiated, but Clanton admitted that some reports of ritualistic activities have been confirmed, enough that some increase in awareness of the problem is needed. Other investigators and mental health personnel who asked not to be identified in this report said several Henderson County youths have become so deeply involved in dabbling in the occult that they have required mental health treatment outside the county. These treatments are described as something different and apart from treatments for drug abuse. Pastors who intend to attend the occult awareness breakfast are urged to make reservations.
So it's almost like there's something going on in the town, something that is very sinister. They're trying to cover it up.
Yeah, so it's almost like they're alerting the public, but not trying to get them freaked out. So saying this might be happening, but doesn't seem like it. But just in case, here's your heads up.
Yeah, be aware. Okay.
And then interesting. I found this article from 1989. So this is right in the middle of Satanic Panic.
This is kind of, I mean, I'm not going to say it's super recent, but 1989.
That's the year before I was born.
That was literally the year before you were born.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it says, Fuller Memorial Park rests silently in the southeastern part of the town. The last remembrance of a popular preacher and respected businessman, now ironically a suspected haven for drug users and occult practices. Longtime residents of Athens say the park and its fortified iron ore wall has been surrounded by mystery and has served as the source of numerous rumors since its owners passed away in 1944. The Fullers left no heirs, and those who remember the beloved pastor of Athens can only speculate on what they remember hearing about the wooded park years ago. Reverend Fuller's will, which may have contained the only written documentation of the intended purpose of the park, was supposedly lost in a fire, also considered a mystery at the time. So they couldn't find any proof of what they were supposed to be doing with the park because it was supposedly lost in a fire.
Another strange fire.
So lovely Fuller Memorial Park, now in a state of decay, joins others perhaps less known mysteries of Athens. And then it kind of just goes through the legends and like local Halloween folklore and stuff like that. But you can actually see in this picture where the graves are all knocked over, you can kind of see the pillars and stuff. Yeah, you can see all that.
And I also think it's kind of interesting how you go from being this very respectable man in town, a preacher, everything, and then it's just gone, like,
and then
the rails.
And then you're, like you said, a respected reverend of this church, and then you pass away, and all of a sudden you're this crazy guy that was experimenting on monkeys and doing ritualistic
experiments.
That's kind of crazy.
And also, I think it's so crazy that, like, we still think that is very bad, but also, like, animal testing is so regular. The toothpaste you use,
yeah,
the mascara you use, like, it's all being used on animals.
Yeah. So, legend has it that if you go out to the monkey cages or Monkey Bridge, you can hear them making noise, moving through the trees or throwing rocks at cars and people, which that's one thing I didn't realize is that Monkey Bridge and monkey cages are two separate things. I always associate them as one thing together.
Right. And this is my first time really actually knowing the story behind the monkey cages. I didn't grow up knowing the story of the monkey cages, but mm-hmm. I knew the story of the Monkey Bridge and how, like, notorious it is for, like, teenagers going out there playing the Ouija board, you know, trying to get a little adrenaline going, scare each other, show off. Like, I've been up at the Monkey Bridge, and it was eerie, but I think it was mostly because I was paranoid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And see, Josh took me to Fuller Park on the motorcycle one night, and we just drove around. We didn't really walk around or anything. We just drove where we could on the motorcycle, and we didn't experience anything, but it was almost eerie. But again, you're in East Texas. There's so much wildlife. You know the stories. So you're just kind of on edge, just expecting something to happen the whole time.
Right. And I wish I could go somewhere without knowing the story and be getting that eerie feeling.
Get like a clean slate. No, you're not expecting anything. And then
something actually happens. Yeah. Like, that would be ideal for me personally.
Yeah. So the park seemed to be calm and peaceful during the day, but taking on a dark and creepy feeling at night. It is said that evidence of rituals would be found around the cages, pentacles marking several different areas, altars with salt and charred wood, melted and broken candles, and mutilated bodies of animals were often found there. The Fuller's graves are also often found vandalized with graffiti and headstones kicked over. And
again, very sad.
Very sad. But one kind of funny thing, again, it kind of goes back to, are there actual satanic rituals going out there, or is it kids? Because Bubba, mom and dad's friend, had posted that he went out there and he's seen it graffitied on one of the walls or something. And it's, instead of saying Satan, it said Satin. So they either don't know how to spell their God's name, or they're just kids being kids.
The light's on, but nobody's home.
Exactly. The Fuller graves are also found vandalized with graffiti, headstones kicked over. There's part of the property that is farther back that is harder to locate due to the overgrowth of nature. For a while, all that remains is the remnants of a dilapidated barn with tubs of old Christmas ornaments, a mattress, the shell of an old TV, an old tow truck that was covered in a blanket of rust, and glass broken out. Which I don't even think a lot of that remains now. I've seen more of a recent story where they went back there and the barns basically have fallen in on itself. There's like nothing there. It's just overtaken. And which I also seen another thing recently where on one of the Athens community pages where they were talking about how they were actually cleaning up at the park. So I wonder if somebody has since bought it or gotten it and they're starting to clean it up.
Fix it up a little bit to make it a little bit more functional than what it is right now.
Yeah, because it's been like that for years. So for a while, it was just frozen in time, overtaken by nature and falling in on itself. The overall feeling of Fuller Park during the day is often referred to as serene and calm during the day, but at night, it takes on an ominous feeling. Visitors often feel like they are being watched or followed, hearing sounds of footsteps and screams. But again, keep in mind, this is East Texas, so we have coyotes, we have hogs, we have possums,
armadillos, like everything imaginable, and you hear a little leaf rustle, you're gonna get scared.
Armadillos
are
loud.
Yes,
they
for
are
no
so
reason.
Loud. You wouldn't think like a little critter like that would be that loud. Mm-hmm. There was one time at the old house when I had Misty, and there you heard this loud noise, and we were both looking around like, what is that? It sounded like somebody on our back porch, and I went out there, it's just an armadillo.
Yeah, because I think whenever they do that little curl thing, it makes like a clink noise. I don't know, I don't know.
Oh, I didn't know they did that. So, another supposed dark spot in Athens is the country club. A wealthy man built what was called the Castle on the Lake. It ended up burning down, leaving just the cellar of the original house.
Can I just mention, Another fire. What is up with these people and fire? Don't they know if you play with fire, you get burned?
You get burned. So, a man named William H. Gaston established the Elite Club in 1902, and he named it Coon Creek Club, but they spelled it KKK.
Okay, that's...
No, that's not good.
That's not okay.
And I also seen where they built the country club. They kept the original cellar of that old house that burnt down. Right. And that's the cellar of the country club.
I really don't like that at all. And also, country clubs are just overrated. I don't care who you are. Like, I understand being retired and, like, older, you know. But if you're going to the country club every weekend and you're in your 20s... Something might be not okay.
There is supposedly a 40-year waiting list to be accepted to the club and a payment of $40,000. Want to take a guess on how much that was back then?
You said $40,000?
Yep.
And what year is this again?
This was like back in the 1930s, 1902.
Oh, then, okay, so 1902. I think back in 1902, like 25 cents was like... $100, right? So, $40,000. Like, $120,000.
It was equivalent to $1.5 million.
Oh, my gosh. And that's how much?
That was just your fee, yeah, to be accepted into this.
$1.5 million?
That's what it was equivalent to then.
And is it still set? Like,
I didn't see how much it was now. Who knows what it is now?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, why?
Because it's still active. It's still a country club in Athens.
Okay, so if it's that much money, are we getting a new car when we join? I'm confused.
Well, members would include the most affluent Dallas families. I seen one report where it said they're only accepting the gonna-bes and not the wannabes of the time.
Okay.
Fathers would literally put their newborn sons on the list the day they were born in hopes they would make the cut by the time they turned 40. So it's soon.
That's insane. 40 years for a waiting list.
40 years.
Actually.
And then to put your newborn son he was just born on this waiting list in hopes that he can be a part of this fancy, smanchy club.
Yeah. What if he wasn't even going to want to go?
Well, I did see one, too, where they were talking about how if they didn't get accepted for whatever reason, or if they turned it down, they would still have to wait another 40 years before being added back to the list.
Are you kidding me?
So, one of the big names that popped up was George W. Bush, but I guess they never accepted his membership. He ended up buying his own acreage right down the road. I think they named it like the Rainbow something, and I thought that was kind of interesting.
And George W. Bush, that's the president of the United States.
Senior, George W. Bush Senior, okay. so his dad. He ended up buying his own acreage down the road. The country club was about 8,000 acres of land. The only amenities the club really had to offer was hunting and fishing. So most of these country clubs, you can go, they have the swimming pools and the bar staff. And right. This didn't have any of that. It was basically just a hunting and fishing lodge for him.
Hunting what?
Probably hogs. And for a while, I don't know, they're not as common as they were, but alligators and stuff are over there.
Oh, that's right, because it is in Athens.
Yeah.
And Athens is kind of similar to Brownsboro. I just think it's a swamp area. It's so flooded everywhere you go. After it rains for a few days, you can't even step outside your vehicle without getting your whole entire shoe soaked.
Yes. And just a couple of years ago when we got all that rain, somebody ran over that alligator on 31 outside of Murchison.
I remember that. So sad. And they're just out. Like, they just pop up in the middle of nowhere. Yeah.
So, they built their own private landing strip so that they basically wouldn't have to go through the public to bring planes in, to bring people in. They have their own landing strip there at the club, and that was another big thing for everybody that they wanted.
Very suspicious.
Very shady, very shady. They took privacy very seriously. You were not allowed to speak about what would happen there. You weren't even allowed to call it by name, only referring to it as the Private East Texas Club. So that they don't even want you to say it by name. Like, you couldn't even mention the name of it.
See, that almost makes me think that either something sinister is going on or something that wasn't socially acceptable was going on at the time.
I don't even think it was socially acceptable because back then racism was, you know, ridiculous and everything. I think it's just they're better than you. So you don't, you common people don't even get to mention the name of our club.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So you had the wealthy men and then you had like the poor people. Like, yeah. There was really no in between and it just sucked back then.
So, in being close enough to Dallas, but remote enough to be away from prying eyes, made it the ideal location. Allegedly, they would use the cellar for ritualistic gatherings and torturing people. So, like I was saying, they kept the old cellar of the old house that burnt down in there. So,
and they would torture people?
Allegedly, there was actually a previous secretary of the club from the 80s. She said that there were still chains on the wall. You could find a table by the country club that had been charred. It was too short to sit at with a chair, so it was low enough to the ground to where you almost had to sit on your knees to sit at it. And it was covered in symbols and markings all over this table. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it was charred like it had been caught on fire. So that's a little creepy.
You know, it's kind of, you know, how possessions can take on objects. And I wonder what that table has been through, basically.
Has that table seen?
Yeah, what has that table been through with all the markings and, like, ritualistic?
What kind of energy does it hold?
Yes, exactly.
In 1997, they did finally change the spelling to the correct spelling of Coon Creek Club. So at least they were nice enough to do that in the 90s. There are many other stories that circulate around Athens with rumors of witches, haunted houses, and a haunted hospital.
I have heard about that haunted hospital.
I've heard a little bit, and I did do like a quick research of it, but I couldn't find anything quickly, so we'll have to look into that later.
But also at the same time, in another perspective, I feel like all hospitals have people that pass away in them.
So again,
there
that energy.
To be an energy either way, like maybe not haunted, but I don't like going to hospitals. I don't think really anybody likes going to hospitals unless something's seriously wrong or someone's having a baby, you know?
Yeah. So we did post this in one of the Athens Facebook groups and ask for personal stories. So I do have a few personal stories that we can read.
Okay.
This one says, let me see if we can say their name. It doesn't say, so I'm just not going to say their name. She says, my sister owns a house that was has an upstairs closet. Many have heard noises in that closet, and one sister was staying the night with my other sister, and she had a paranormal experience. They saw a figure of a woman materialize from that closet. Fear-stricken, she left and came to my house and told me what happened. That would be terrifying to stay the night somewhere and just see someone like materialize and walk up out of their closet.
Hell no. I would get out of there just how she did.
Another time, my sister was staying in an old mobile home next door. She screamed and ran across the yard and came to tell me what she saw. There was a black type smoke coming from a black circle that appeared to form on the wall just above her table. She said she saw a demon come from the smoke and it was coming for her. I brought her inside and consoled her. The next day, she only saw the stain from the smoke covering the wall. It seemed to be a rather large circle, and then the smoke stains. She moved out shortly after that. But again, don't blame them.
Don't blame you, girl. I would have either moved out or hired a priest to come and watch my house 24/7.
Get the holy water out.
Yes.
Another one is my brother-in-law and my husband and two other men in the family went on a hunting trip. They went into the woods outside of Athens. They noticed how the trees seemed larger than most of the area, as if the woods were really old and no one ever went into them. They all got permission to hunt. The day spun out and it was falling dark, and the men had lost their way out of the forest. They did not remember where they left the truck or even how to get back to it.
Typical.
Typical man. Two of the men were on the far side of the woods. My husband and brother-in-law were on the lake side. When the two brother-in-laws came into a dark spot in the woods, they noticed a flicker of fire in the deepest part of the woods, which that's almost got to be a relief. Like, you see fire, oh, there's somebody there.
There's a campsite. Let's go check it out.
Exactly. Yeah. They followed the light and had stumbled upon a sacrifice taking place. They stepped back quietly into the woods. These people were dressed in long robes and had on crowns and all kinds of garb. enough to scare the hell out of these hunters. There in the center is a large area with straps down the corners of it. It seemed to be larger than a king-size bed, maybe two. It was made of carved stone. They seemed to be chanting. It was about 40 of them coming into view. When they started gathering, and so many, my two brother-in-laws shifted quietly back into the woods and wandered all night trying to find their way out of the woods. The moon was dark, so there wasn't a way to navigate out. They finally just happened to come across the highway and started walking, and there in the distance, the pickup finally appeared, which had to be a relief to get out of there.
Yeah, but like, what were they sacrificing? Well, that's what I'm concerned. Was it an animal? Was it somebody like just sitting there like dying on the table?
Exactly. And just to walk and just see that and see somebody, it's like, no, thank you.
I also can't believe the people are still out here actually participating in these groups. And I don't understand it.
Yeah.
People are forming clans, like KKK clans, like yes. That. And I don't understand any of that. It's literally 2025, y'all. We're leaving that in the past.
Yeah.
And you.
So this other story says, again, they didn't say if I could say their name or not. It says, not much of a story, but I used to be the mailman that delivered mail on Gibson Road and Robinson Road. I frequently would see out of the corner of my eye, just inside the wall, a big burly man in red plaid, classic lumberjack style, with suspenders hanging by a noose, just inside Fuller Park.
Uh-uh.
But every time I would focus, nothing would be there. And again, just to be able to see it kind of in the distance, and you'd be like, is that what I think it is? And then you look closer and it's gone. But you know, there was something, you've seen something there.
Yes, I have had that happen to me a few times, just riding in the car and looking at, like, I think it's a rear view window, isn't it? One of the side windows in the car?
I guess.
I guess you would say back window. That, but I could just see, like, something in the back. I freak myself out a lot, like, when it's dark outside, and I just look out the window, and then I'll look in the back through the window, and I'm like,
When I was a kid, I'm going to expose myself here. When I was a kid, of course, we didn't have phones to sit there and play on or whatever. I would look out the window, and I would imagine this guy running along the car with me, and he would like jump on things as we were running to keep up with the car. But then my mind would twist it, and I would get so freaked out and be like, what if there really is somebody there?
Oh my gosh, like, what if there's actually someone chasing us?
And I would freak myself out.
Oh my gosh, that reminds me of kind of a funny story, a little off topic, when my friend Jonah was like outside the car chasing me because I had taken his phone. It was so funny, but yeah. It was scary at the same time. You just see this long little boy running after you, and you're like trying to get away.
So this story, she wants to stay anonymous, so we will not say her name. She said, I heard you were looking for stories about Fuller Park, and while I haven't personally experienced anything, my mom has. She grew up in Athens, but never went to Fuller Park until she joined a search party on horseback, helping to look for an elderly man who had wandered away from a local nursing home. As they made their way through the park, she noticed some things that seemed staged, but maybe left by local teens, but others were completely unexplainable. At one point, both she and her horse became uneasy, feeling an overwhelming sense of being watched. She swears she heard eerie voices and sounds that could not be traced to anybody in the group. The experience stuck with her, and even though the missing man was ultimately found outside of Fuller Park, there are also stories about a house on Highway 31. It has long been considered uninhabitable due to how haunted it is. Lights refuse to stay on or off, cabinets fly open, doors unlock themselves, and even cars on the property have started randomly. There are plenty of stories about who or what haunts it. A widow, a tragic suicide, even a murder. But everyone agrees on one thing. Whatever lingers there is not from this world and truly wants to be left alone. Apparently, a teacher rented the house in the 80s, but didn't stay long. The property has been abandoned for many years, but I swear I've seen lights flickering inside at night, and the doors of the old abandoned houses there are sometimes open. If you choose to share this, I'd appreciate remaining anonymous. Looking forward to hearing more great stories on the podcast.
Well, I mean, side note, your mom is a badass girl, because I would not go to that park on horseback.
And horses, I feel like, pick up on stuff, yes, too. Like, they're very...
very spooked. Oh,
yeah, very open.
I heard this thing. I don't know if it's true. I know nothing about horses, guys. But apparently, horses can tell when you're scared, you know?
Oh, yeah. They pick up on your energy. Let's see here. So, this story says, I grew up in Athens, specifically around the funeral home that everyone knows about. One story in particular I remember is when a prominent member of Athens passed away. They held a normal service at the First Baptist Church, but then later that evening had another one with a black book, and they wore robes and requested privacy. So that's a little creepy.
Okay, I understand, you know, requesting privacy for the family, but the robes are a little...
Black book? What kind of black book are they looking at here?
Yeah, like, okay.
Also, like no, I do not like that at all.
And for it to be a very known member of Athens, too.
A prominent member.
It's just...
Mm-mm. Nope.
Mm-mm. Also, in an early episode of the podcast story about Athens, known as Undercover of Night, which I'm going to cover that one. I've done my own research, and I listened to that podcast when it first came out. It is wild, but it's, again, it's another one of those stories. I guess it's just small towns that do this. There are so many stories, not a whole lot of proof, but this guy told this guy, and they couldn't prove anything, but there was so many mysterious circumstances, and it's like, what is going on?
Right. And it's kind of interesting to me as well that all of the stories are very similar.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Why would you make that up? Unless, someone who is grown, just... why would you make stories like this up?
The only thing I can think of is, like, drugs are really bad here, and so maybe an attention-seeking, but still, it's just there's so much.
Right.
In the podcast story, also about Athens, Undercover of Night, Sue's body was really cremated in a very weird fashion. I was young, but I remember the stir around the funeral home. My sister also worked at the country club. I'm sure she'd speak on her experiences, so that would be interesting to hear somebody that's actually worked there.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
I was always creeped out being there. Thunder Bridge on Monkey Road is one of my best memories of Athens. It really was a dangerous bridge, and plenty of times my sisters would drive me down there trying to scare me. I was always more afraid of the bridge. I did see a cage as a kid at the park, but I think it was put there. I don't recall seeing any as a teenager. The 90s were an interesting time in Athens. But again, it goes back to satanic panic in the 80s and 90s. How much is it just people freaking out because people are different or they're doing different things that they don't agree with, and they're just...
I also would love if one of these cult members would just talk to us about what happened. Like a retired cult member, you know what I mean?
Any retired cult members available?
If anybody's out there and y'all are retired, just hit us up, okay?
So this is the last story. It says, me and my friends back in 2018 decided we'd go to Fuller's Park after hearing all the stories about it. We got there, hopped the gate, and walked into the park. In total, there were maybe 5 or 6 of us. At first, there wasn't a whole lot going on, so we walked around exploring the location. When we started to walk deeper into the park, we began hearing footsteps next to us in the leaves. At first, I thought it was one of my friends that was just messing with us. But when I turned around, everyone was there. No one was missing. We continued to walk through the park, and I kept hearing footsteps next to us. Sometimes it'd be on the right, sometimes on the left. I had a flashlight on me, and I looked around to see if there were any animals, like raccoons or squirrels, that could be walking around, causing the noises and footsteps. But we didn't see anything. We ended up making it to where the graves are located. I decided to start taking pictures around the graves because cameras do tend to pick up things that the human eye can't. The pictures I took, we ended up looking at when we made it back home. One of them, there was a pair of orange-red colored eyes that were right above the graves in the park. And from the angle I took the picture, there were no lights that could have been peering through the trees or anything. It was completely dark back there. We confirmed this by visiting the park the next day in the daylight to check for any light post or lamps. We found nothing. Attached is the picture I took, and when you zoom into the picture, you cannot see a shape of an animal or anything. Later that same day, we visited during the daytime, went into some forums, and some others that explored the park stated they saw the same orange-red eyes in different locations at the park. But the main area they can be seen is near the grave in the trees. If you decide to share my story, you can reference my name. It's Matt. So here's the picture. Those are actually the graves of the Fullers. You can see the post in the... see the post in the chains.
I see the pillar and freaking big chain. Jeez, yeah, they were really huge. Trying to keep some people out of there. Oh, is that the eyes or is that the light?
Let me see. Those are the eyes they're talking about seeing up in the tree.
And it's not even on a branch. It's just...
Not that you can see. I mean, it is really dark, and that is high up in the tree.
Yeah.
It almost looks like when you're driving down the road and your lights catch deer eyes. Yes, that's what it looks like.
But a deer ain't going to be up in the trees like that.
It could be Vixen. Could be Rudolph.
Could be a skinwalker.
Oh, don't say that. So that's creepy. I would love to see more pictures if anybody has actual pictures of Fuller Park and what they've seen. That would be really cool pictures. And that's what I see a lot of people are like, where's the photographic evidence? Even if the tunnels, everybody's like, well, I seen the tunnel, but it's locked and now you can't go in.
Right.
But I haven't seen any pictures of the locked doors. And so it's just
maybe we just need to go.
Just go look.
Just go look. I mean, even if y'all have pictures that are just regular pictures of Fuller Park.
Yeah, Fuller.
Fuller Park. Like pictures of the park being cleaned up, you know?
Yeah. Maybe we should go out there. Yeah. We need to go out there and just go look and see what it looks like now. But that was kind of the lore of Athens. I thought it'd be fun to do just kind of a short, quick kind of spooky stories, campfire stories almost. Right. And
it's pretty close to home.
I know, just 30 minutes down the road.
We drive past it every day, basically.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. And then we're really excited about future episodes that are a little bit more like concrete proof, facts, being able to prove.
I know my episode next week is going to be more on the concrete proof. I have a lot of evidence.
Like true crime, right?
Yes. It's going to be over a murder. It's really sad, actually, what I'm going to be going over because of how young she was. But it is going to be about a girl, and I'm really excited to share her story.
Well, we've always grown up on this stuff, too, and so we thought it would be a good idea just to kind of... We always talk about it anyway, so we might as well record it and speak about it and see what everybody else has and bring some light to some stories and hopefully bring some awareness.
Exactly, because some of these stories that we're going to be doing are... We're going to do some big notorious ones like Ted Bundy and John Wayne Gacy, but we're definitely going to be trying to focus on the smaller stories, not very well known, and raise awareness to those family members and everything.
And then we also want to take breaks because sometimes a lot of true crime can kind of take a toll on your mental health.
Yes.
And sometimes it's fun just to sit in a creepy room talking about creepy stories and scaring each other.
So. Right. So we'll probably try to transfer it out like every other week. Whether it be paranormal, next week do a true crime, probably.
Exactly. So we're excited to bring this to you guys. Just be patient as we're learning to edit and research and post. And it's all new to us. We've never done this before.
And big shout out to Audrey because I have no idea what I'm doing with these microphones. But she's been a really great person to be around and figuring this stuff out. Oh, so
thanks, girl.
Of course. I really enjoyed this episode. I really think we got into a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, we'll have to keep looking and see if we actually find any proof of anything. Yes. Then we'll have to post it.
We might just have to go out there and explore it for ourselves and be like, update.
That would be fun. Or even do like a TikTok live or something and go out there. That'd be fun.
Yeah, but just let us know what y'all want to hear.
Give us recommendations.
Suggest some stories, you know? I know we talked about doing some in our actual town, Brownsboro, and all those missing people, and it's very sad.
Just it doesn't seem like it's being handled very well.
Not at all. That's a whole other story.
Yeah, we'll open that on another day. So I guess that's it for this week. So I guess go like, subscribe, follow, all the fun stuff that everybody always says to do. And until then, we'll see you next week.
Yep. And if y'all also have any recommendations for us on what we're doing, just let us know and y'all have a wonderful day.
Bye, guys.